There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Welcome back, everybody. You're into our final hour here on a Monday, and of course we have Dr. Jan Mensing from the practice here. I do want to mention right up front, because there was a rule that the FDA did approve the Pfizer vaccine. We gave it what's called an NDA, and I think that was a bit of a shock. It was a shock to me, probably a shock to Dr. Mensing. We're not going to talk about that. I will spend some time talking about that in the near future, and what the way I evaluate what happened. There is a law that was passed in 1988 that gives immunity to companies that develop vaccines, and we're not going to spend any time with Dr. Mensing on that. But as much as that shocked us this morning when we heard that, there was something else that shocked his patients. Was it Wednesday you said this?
Yeah. It's funny.
You started a firestorm.
I mentioned Wednesday that we are, and I didn't, obviously I didn't get it clear to patients, but we're almost at
capacity.
All right. We have 1,000 patients. We're not quite there. I think we have 26 more slots, and then we're not going to quit the practice.
Right.
We're going to close down accepting new patients until another person.
So if
quits.
if you've been thinking of getting starting to go to the practice, I would highly recommend that you contact them because there aren't that many slots left.
Well, here's what happened, Terry.
Yeah,
this is unintentional, but people after people are calling. You're going to quit the practice? You're going to shut it down? No, there's no interest in shutting it down. All right, I don't know how we this. You know, obviously we gave the wrong message, but the practice is not closing. We are just limiting the number of patients we accept because we want a fixed number of patients until we get another
doctor.
Because
that's what works.
Because that's what works. Yeah. And so we're close to being full, all right?
Right.
We're not shutting down the practice. It's just that if you want to join the practice and we're full, you have to wait till somebody quits. That's really what it amounts to, all right? But we're not quitting the practice. And somehow we've had people calling in the office, you know, somehow we got that message wrong, and I'm sorry about that.
No.
people misunderstood, but
we're clarifying that for everybody right now.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's going to be happening.
No, when we get another doctor, then that's a different story.
Yeah,
we're working on that as we speak.
Yeah,
right?
We'll open up again.
But we don't the practice. We do not want to, and I careful how they say this, but the value of the practice. We can spend time with patients, do very good medicine, look at the root issues. That's what the practice is all about.
Right.
All right?
Right.
We do not want to get too many patients.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number set, all right, of how many patients we'll accept, and that's it per doctor. And so we're close. I think we have another 26 slots.
You don't want a patient to come in and have a 10 o'clock appointment, and then finally you see them at 11:15.
That's Terry. Today I've spent the whole day in the practice. The average doctor will see 40 patients the whole day.
Right.
I saw 8 today. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different kind of practice. We're able to look at the root issues. We don't want to. This practice will not change from that.
Right.
By getting too many patients. That's really what it's all about.
And that's your promise. That's your promise to the patients you currently have that are
We're not shutting the practice
members of the practice.
Down. We're not shutting the practice down. Once we reach that limit, all right, essentially 1,000 patients, we have 26 more slots open.
You realize now about 100 people started exhaling because they've been
if you want to join the practice at that point when we're full. Essentially, you put on a waiting list, and then when somebody quits, we'll call you up and say it's time to come.
Yeah.
All right. So I kind of feel bad. I don't know. I didn't intend to give that message, but a lot of people thought we were.
Yeah. No.
We're shutting the practice down. We're not. There's no plan of doing that.
We are correcting that right now.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I told people earlier that we were going to talk about heel pain today.
Yes.
fairly common. I mean, I don't know of anybody that hasn't had heel pain at some point in their life.
Very, very common. All right, mm-hmm. It's something that is it affects a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We'll go over into some of those risk issues, but it's a major issue. All right, it's common, and we want to essentially talk about heel pain, what the issues are with it, what the doctor talks about and thinks about when he looks at you, and the workup for it, and what to do about some of those things, and hopefully, and if we have time, we'll go into plantar fasciitis.
Okay,
that's kind of what I thought we'd do today.
So when you have a patient come in and they're hobbling a little bit, and they say, "So what are you hobbling for?" You say, "Well, I don't know. My heel's just killing me. It's hurting." What goes through your mind?
Sure. Well, here's the first thing: you need to essentially look at the foot. Mm-hmm. The doctor will want to look at it. All right. And what is the doctor looking for? Number one, he's looking for ulcers, all right? Number two, he's looking for foreign bodies, mm-hmm. all right? And it's mm-hmm. amazing over the years the things you see and people don't realize they got a foreign body in there, all right? Number three, he's looking for what we call cellulitis, which is an infection of the foot in the heel area.
Right.
All right? And number four, he's looking for plantar warts, all right? Number five, he wants to get a sense of what the circulation is like. And what the nerve function is like. You know, is this a cold foot with no pulses?
Right.
Or is this a warm foot with good bounding pulses? He wants to look at the neural function. All right. Is this a person with an end-stage diabetes or with a neuropathy? Because that makes a lot of difference what he does for this patient. So the first thing is examination. All right. Is there something wrong? And a lot of it, you know, the doctor will, you know, when the patient's walking into the room, he'll see it because part of that assessment is a gait assessment. All right. The doctor will look at it. He doesn't even have to ask the patient. He knows the problem. There's a problem with gait. All right. And then he'll want to look at it and see what's happening.
I'm dying to ask you this question. Somebody walks in and says, I've got some hip pain. The first thing you say is, well, what's wrong with your heel?
You're jumping ahead, my gosh. No, this is true. Hip pain and knee pain can be caused by foot and heel pain.
Yeah.
Literally.
You change your gait.
You're too smart for me. Terry, you're right on. Right on. It happens. And we see this a lot. All right, and in fact, some of the treatments we'll go into for these things can cause patients to bear weight differently and cause back pain or knee pain. All right,
I saw it in my mom.
My mom when she
got older, she was having the feet pain. That's where it started, and the next thing you know, she was walking funny, and then she had to have a hip replaced. It was just a mess. Just a mess.
One of the other things the doctor's going to look at is this: a child. All right,
age of the patient.
Yes. All right, but there's something called Servers disease, S-E-R-V-E-R-S. But essentially, it's an osteochondrosis of the heel. The heel bone itself starts to get inflamed and break down. All right.
Yeah.
All right. It's rare, by the way. I don't think I've ever.
How dense is the heel?
Very.
That bone is very, very, very dense, isn't it?
All right. I don't think I've ever seen a case of. I was thinking back of this. But it's essentially the heel bone itself starts to break down. All right?
Almost like gets spongy and breaks down?
Yes. Yeah. That's the idea part. It's not common, all right? But mm-hmm. is this a kid, all right? Number two, not so much heel pain, but gait issues. There's Oshkosh-Slaughter's disease, and there's a bunch of knee issues, all right? Mm-hmm. They can make their look like they've got heel pain, but they have no heel pain. It's not a heel issue, it's a knee issue. And your doctor will look at that, all right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that he wants to know if there's any deformity or tenderness of the Achilles tendon. All right?
Sure.
This is very important because part of heel pathology has to do with the Achilles tendon. All right? And first of all, he wants to know if there's a tendonitis.
Yeah.
Okay? Number two, is there rupture? And we'll talk a little bit about rupture to tendons. But if you
very painful
and very, very serious painful. And takes forever to get better.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. It's the only tendon that's down there, but boy, can it create havoc.
And if you rupture an Achilles tendon, I mean, first of all, you can't plantar dorsiflex your foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of the time, these have to be splinted, mm-hmm. literally, mm-hmm. for months. All right, and here's what happens, Terry. Let's say you rupture your Achilles tendon, and you didn't realize you ruptured it, and it hurts, and you're going to come in, and you're going to be in trouble. I'm going to put you in a splint to hold it so that it will not move.
Right.
That tendon cannot move. You cannot flex or dorsiflex your foot. You start to feel better 2 weeks later, and you pull boot off. And all of a sudden, you flex or dorsiflex it. All of a sudden, you pop. Tear it, and it's back to square one.
Yeah.
And this is so common.
Well, it's a tendon. I mean, it takes a long time for a heal.
Terry, we have had
patients. If ever.
Well, they will heal, but they can be no movement. And I've had patients we've had to cast. That's terrible to say. Cast, because they won't do what we tell them.
Do mm-hmm.
you follow what I'm saying? That crazy thing heal. And if it doesn't heal, there's other things that have to be done with referrals to look at why it's not healing. But the most common cause is a patient started flexing or extending it too soon. And they refractured that tendon, and you're back to square one. And just remember, every time you stretch and tear that tendon again, once it starts to heal, it's going to take longer and longer and longer. And it can take literally 6 months, literally. All right?
Let's go from the Achilles tendon. We've got a caller who wants to ask about a medical complications. Let's do that, and then we'll go to a break.
Okay.
Hi, Randy. How are you? This is Terry Maxwell on the...
Doing better.
Good.
Okay. I talked to you. It's been 4 weeks to the day. I talked to you about I was having my other knee replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you some pointed questions because the first time I had it done, I had my other knee done about 7 years ago, and it was not a pleasant experience.
Right.
It took me almost 2 months before I could get a 90-degree bend out of it.
Right.
Okay. And they want you constantly moving that leg to keep the scar tissue and the tissue around the joint free, so it's able to articulate. And you have to keep doing it, and it swells. So anyway, I just had this one done, and there was a complication. The surgery went fantastic. Dr. Saeed did the work.
Okay.
The problem was, the day I came out of surgery, everything was working fine. But what they want you to do is they want you to get up and move around and go to the bathroom, right?
Right.
Okay. What happened is I couldn't pee.
Okay. So your kidneys were not functioning properly.
No.
Not the kidneys working fine.
No, it's not a kidney problem.
Okay.
It's usually a problem.
That's your prostate.
Yeah, it's usually the prostate and some of the medications we give you during anesthesia.
Will cause that?
Will cause a prostate there's a class of drugs. Careful. There's a class of drugs, Randy, that will essentially, and they're used for often induction of anesthesia, but they will, if the prostate's too big and you don't realize it, they'll make the prostate swell, all right?
Well,
and then
happened, because, see, there's different ways to use anesthesia. The old standard way is to, just knock you out, intubate you, go down, and it's fairly harsh to wake up. But they did a nerve block, and this is what they've been pushing for years,
yes,
because it's less intrusive. And he thinks that what happened, because it doesn't happen very often, but he thinks that's because when they did the nerve block, which they put the needle in your back.
Randy, here's probably what happened. Okay, they put a needle in the back and they put a medicine essentially to cause this nerve block. But if this medicine goes down to the sacral nerves, it can affect how your bladder empties. Do you follow?
Right,
and you won't pee.
Probably.
And now, usually, as long as there's no damage to those nerves, okay, and that's rare. It'd be unlikely to be damaged. It's usually a short term thing. And essentially, once that
but it wasn't.
Oh, really? How long did it last?
I'll fill you in, because all males out there that are over 60, I'm almost 70 years old. I'll be 70 in about 6 months, okay? I've never had any really prostate problem. Now I have to go to use the restroom about three times a night.
So stop, Randy. You have to get up three times a night to pee, you have prostate problems.
Well,
it may not be diagnosed, but you have BPH.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I had to go home with a bag.
Yep.
And it took over a week before I could find a doctor to take it out, basically.
Yeah.
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 It was a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And Randy, typically, in fact, we had this situation just recently in the practice, and the patient wanted me to take it out right away, the 2 days later. And I said, no, we're going to wait for about 5 to 7 days because just to make sure that.
Yeah, it's clear. Completely clear. Right? Yeah.
Probably, Randy, my recommendation is see your physician. You need to be worked up for BPH, for benign prostatic hypertrophy, all right? Yeah. Because this is probably, you were at higher risk for this because of the BPH that people didn't realize. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, Randy. Yeah, hey, unfortunately, we got to move on because we got to take a break and then come back. Bye-bye. Thanks, Randy. Bye. We'll be right back.
KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
I'm not much to look at, nothing to see, just glad I'm living and happy to be. I got a woman crazy for me.
Yeah, she's funny that way.
I can't save a dollar.
Any woman who takes a look at Rod Stewart and thinks, oh, man, what a handsome guy. Man, they need the name of a good ophthalmologist. And if they still think he's such a great-looking guy, then they need the name of a good psychiatrist because they're crazy. But what is Harry, a good voice? He has a good voice.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Remember that.
Okay, I'll try. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. We want to make a clarification because some people got confused last Wednesday about the practice. Dr. Mensink is to the point where he is almost limited out on the number of patients that he feels comfortable having in his practice so that he can deliver the type of medicine that he wants to deliver to his patients. That this is the reason he gets such great results with his patients, is because he's got the time to spend with them. And because of that, he has to limit the number of patients that are actually part of the practice. And he's close to that limit. Last Wednesday, I think through the use of maybe the wrong word or giving the wrong impression, people thought, are they closing the practice? No, he is not closing the practice. That's the furthest thing from his mind is closing the practice. But he does realize that if he's only got 26 slots left, he needs to let people know because this
we're not going to keep getting patients
right.
to decrease the quality.
That's
the message.
This program is very popular. And it has an influence on the number of people who are interested in being members of the practice. And so
it's a different practice, Terry. Yeah. The average doctor during the day will see 40 patients. All right.
Right? And this morning, you saw 8 today.
I saw 8 today.
So
totally different practice. All right. And that's why we don't want to change that.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying? Limit that. That's really what it's all about. But we're not.
So we wanted to clarify that for people who got confused last week as to what's going on with the practice. Nothing's going on with the practice. It's
just that once we close accepting patients, you'll have to wait
right.
until somebody quits to, you know,
right.
until we get another doctor. That's really what it's all about.
What we were talking about also was heel pain. And are there any bursa in the heel? Bursa is kind of like that
fluid filled sac that sort of acts as a shock absorber.
Yeah, and I was thinking more in terms of like a ball bearing that it makes it so that everything kind of smoothly moves about.
There are bursa in the heel.
Okay.
All right, and around the tendon, actually, the
Achilles tendon.
Achilles tendon. And you can get a bursitis, literally, from your heel. All right? People don't realize that.
Thank goodness, because I'd rather have that than I would a ruptured or torn Achilles tendon.
We talked about that. These things are disastrous. You have bursa in the foot, in the foot and in the heel. Connected to the heel. And doctors, the foot doctors know this, all right? A lot of other doctors don't twig as much, all right? Mm-hmm. I've even had orthopedic surgeons that don't realize that. You know, and we'll talk later on if we have time about what do you do and where you go for referral and how do you do that. And I'm a strong fan of podiatrists. Right. If it's a foot problem, I think probably better than most orthopods. You have to watch with podiatrists. Some podiatrists are like are into doing procedures and making money. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a podiatrist that we contract with a practice that's a phenomenal podiatrist. He does what's needed, nothing else. He's not into this money game, all right?
Right.
That's the only thing issue with some of the podiatrists. They're a little bit greedy kind of thing. But and I don't – careful how I say that because that comes across wrong. I'm not against podiatrists. But right. The podiatrists generally for foot problems themselves will do very good.
Right.
Not against podiatrists at all.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit, Terry, about what we do. What's working?
Well, I was going to say, so somebody walks in, they've got this heel pain. You've kind of palpitated and looked at it, and you determine that there's something going on there. What's the next step?
First of all, they have to be x-rayed or imaged. All right? Let's talk about it. And what are we looking for? That's probably the best thing. What are we looking for first when we do that? And probably the cheapest is a plain x-ray of the foot. All right, we're looking at the calcaneus, which is the heel. All right. But nobody you x-ray a whole foot. All right, you don't ask for a calcaneal x-ray. All right, they're going to do the whole foot. And several things we're looking at. Number one, a calcaneal fracture. You can get fractures of the heel. All right, people don't realize this, but you can get fractures. And number two, it's usually from a severe fall on your foot. All right. Or somebody who has osteoporosis, we didn't realize it.
Okay. Sure.
Number two, you can get osteomyelitis. That's an infection in the bone, all right?
Which has to be treated with antibiotics.
Cannot miss it.
Right.
All right, very serious, all right? Number three, you can get tumors in the foot, in the heel.
In the heel?
It's rare. These are rare. But it has to be known, all right? I have seen a couple cases over the years of people that really had tumors, all right? Oh, my gosh, all right? And then you can get calcaneal spurs. They're actually quite common, but a little spur that goes along the plantar fascia.
How big are those?
Think of it like a
pebble.
No, they're often. Think of it like a spike that's probably 3 to 4 millimeters, goes down to nothing over about an inch or two.
Okay.
They can be small or big, but you can get calcaneal spurs, and a plain X-ray will tell that. All right, if the x-ray is negative, all right, mm-hmm. there's two things the doctor's going to look at or think about, gout and plantar fasciitis, all right? But here's the thing. Probably the next thing to do is talk about what is the doctor going to do for workup. Number one, x-ray. Number two, he's going to do a complete blood count to look for infections and a sed rate. We'll check to making sure there's no inflammatory process, a Westergaard sed rate.
Okay.
He's going to do what's called a Chem-20, but it's essentially a test to check your liver function, your kidney function, things like that, because that can have an effect of what he does and what's going on down there. And he'll probably, if he thinks of gout, he'll do a uric acid level. All right? But you can literally get gout in the heel. People don't realize that, but it's possible, right?
Most everybody thinks it's in the big toe.
And it's, you know, in fact, I had a gentleman this morning that came in with gout in the great big toe. But it can happen in any joint, all right? People don't understand that. But the other thing is if the x-ray is negative, all right,
mm-hmm.
the doctor, and he thinks it's a bony issue, all right, he will order a CT scan of the foot, all right?
Actually, so they can get smaller cuts.
Well, essentially, it will pick up osteomyelitis early, tumors earlier, all sorts of things, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The second issue, if he thinks it's a soft tissue-related issue, all right? He says, no, this is a soft tissue issue.
Mm-hmm.
He will probably order an MRI of the foot, all right? And that will tell you the soft tissue issues, all right? Not as good for bone. It will tell us some things about bone, but CT is better for bone. So if a doctor thinks it's a bony issue, he'll do a CT. And where this really comes into play, Terry, is the patient who has, let's say they're diabetic, all right?
Okay.
A diabetic, they got a peripheral neuropathy. They don't really know that there's pain down there and there's injuring it. And they come in with, and you're starting to think, holder, the circulation isn't as good. Is there an osteomyelitis? The doctor cannot miss this. All right.
Right.
End of discussion. Cannot be missed. All right. And he x-rays it, and the x-ray doesn't show much. All right. And he's saying, holder, I am concerned. This is a patient that's set up for it. It just cannot be missed. He will often do a CT scan to look if there's any osteo in the calcaneus. All right.
Okay.
All right. And that's very important, very valid. And it doesn't cost that much today. I mean, it used to be a CT scan was $1,500. We do our patients for about $100, $110, something like that, for our, what we have scheduled. We've negotiated for. But it doesn't have to be done with contrast. Okay, mm-hmm. It can be done without contrast. It's fast and quick. And the doctor will do that if he thinks there's a lesion in the bone. All right? And the most common that he cannot miss is osteomyelitis early and may not be seen on CT.
You mentioned soft tissue. What sort of soft tissue complications would you be looking at?
Well, tendon ruptures, number
right.
two. Inflammation of bursa, number three, inflammation of the plantar fascia,
mm-hmm.
number four. There's a bunch of joints in the foot.
Not much, not in the way of muscle though. There is there.
Well, they're tendons, more tendons,
more tendons right, than anything.
Tendons
okay.
Or number three, there can be tears of the insertions of the tendons.
Okay.
Or a tear of the tendon right next to the where it inserts into the bone, and those are better picked up with MR. All
got
right.
Got
and
it.
They can be often, especially in a foot that's very painful, Terry, can be hard to diagnose. You get a big, swollen, painful foot. Sometimes the exam can be very difficult. And those patients probably need to be imaged, surely.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they need to be taken out to the North 40 and just shot.
No.
Well, let's not take the patient to the North 40 and shoot him. Let's take a break and we'll come back. We're continuing to talk about heel pain. Heel pain that's very common. Just about everybody I know has ever had it, and I know I've had it. So stick around. We'll be right back. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensing from The Practice.
The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner.
Heaven, I'm in heaven. And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak.
Great music, don't you think? Great music. Yep, it does set a mood. Keep that in mind, Dwan. Sets a mood. Cheek to cheek. Okay, we are back. We're talking with Dr. Jan Mensing about heel pain. We were talking a little bit about diagnosis and what things that you would be...
What can you do about
what,
it?
What can you do about it?
I'll try to make this quick. Number one, you've all heard the Good Feet Store, all right?
Right.
But I'm a strong believer in fitted arch supports, all right? But there's a way cheaper way. Good Feet Store is $500-$700 or mm-hmm. $1,000. You can... Two ways you can do it. You can go to Walmart... And you can, they have some Walmarts, they'll have a machine you stand on, and and essentially it'll fit, give you a number and fit a Dr. Scholl's arch support. Mm-hmm. What we do for our patients, and I think we send our patients to Guarantee Shoes right downtown. Mm-hmm. All right. They're very good at foot stuff and orthotics for foot, for diabetes. They're phenomenal, really. And they give our patients, I think, $10 off, 10% off, something like that, so that it's the same price as going to Walmart. It's about $70. But they will do it for you so they make sure you do it right instead of just trying yourself.
Sure.
And I'm a strong believer of orthotics work. It takes a while, probably 6 weeks to work, all right? But I'm a big believer in that for foot pain. The second thing is... Often, especially with plantar fasciitis, these people are either too heavy, they're overweight, or they started exercising and overdid it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And number three, there are stretching exercises you can do. And probably the easiest stretching exercise you can do to prevent getting a plantar fasciitis is stand up against a wall, sort of leaning towards the wall on your toes.
Oh, okay.
And it stretches the plantar fascia. And do that for about a minute every day, twice a day for probably 2 weeks. And start stretching that because it's that plantar fascia so it doesn't get in trouble as easy. Number two, don't overdo it. Guys, the typical guy, I'm going to start exercising and start running or whatever, and they overdo it and then quit. All right. Slow, especially if you're overweight. Start it slow. All right. That's important.
Well, also, if you're about to get involved in like a softball league or something like that, one of the things you want to do is that start. Kind of stretching also, yeah, because exactly. you'll the first time you hit the ball and you start running to first base, you just might go ahead and separate that.
If you're overweight, yeah. The risk is higher. Yeah. All right, age greater than age 40, the risk is higher yet. All right. Or people are on their feet a lot, all right? The mm-hmm. risk is higher.
Sure.
All right. Probably the other thing is that exercise, if you have a lot of trouble with plantar fasciitis, you've tried the inserts, your doctor's tried a bunch of things, all right, maybe change your exercise to swimming or something like that that's less damaging to it. But probably the key overall, Terry, if I had one message to say to people, mm-hmm. is you want to make sure the tendons and muscles are strong, all right? That has to do with testosterone supplements, all right? Supplementation right. for men and women, and a bunch of things like that. But keeping those muscles and tendons strong and healthy.
In tune.
In tune, yeah. Yeah. All right.
So making sure your weight is at the right place will relieve a lot of pressure.
That helps. Yeah. You can't do anything about your age over 40. Just you can't backtrack.
Dang it!
But the other thing is just do those stretching exercises we've talked about. And if you have a lot of problems, talk to your doctor about it. All right. The other thing that you can do is there's taping that you put things. I'm not a fan of taping overall, unless you're really trained in an athletic environment. Then it works. For the average person, I'm not as impressed.
Taping the heel?
Yes. There's a whole ways of taping your foot and taping the heel. If you're into the sports movement, people know how to do it. It's good. For the average person, I don't think it does very well. They don't do very well with it.
I know in football, I had to have mine taped, but it was for the ankle, not for the heel.
There's all sorts of different.
Okay, great.
All right, doctors will often use steroids. In fact, we often will put steroids into the muscle itself. All right.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called extracorporeal shockwave therapy. I have no experience with it. It's something new. All right, from my research, it's not really for sure that it's good, but it's something new. All right. And there are some surgical procedures that you can do as a last resort. I would always recommend do it late, not early. All right? Because occasionally I've seen some failures that will bug you forever for the rest of your life.
Those bone spurs that you were talking about earlier, I mean, what do you do for treatment on those?
Most of the time, steroid injections.
Okay.
All right? Sometimes non-steroidal analgesics, plantar arch supports. If you've got bone spurs, arch supports.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Number three, making sure that your D3 levels are up. All right. And number four, making sure your testosterone levels are high for both women and men. All right. Make sure there's no problems with testosterone, because just remember, in fact, what's the most common cause of a low testosterone in a male? He comes in with foot pain. Why? Because the testosterone, the arch, that plantar arch, mm-hmm. is getting weaker because there's less testosterone. It starts to fall.
Fall, sure.
And then he gets heel pain. And the real problem is not the heel pain or not the plantar fasciitis. It's really the problem his testosterone levels are low.
Right.
And your doctor will talk about those things to you. But that's the issue.
Plantar fasciitis. Explain to people what exactly that is. Because
you have an arch. You have two arches in your foot. But this transverse arch that goes from your heel to the front of your toes, all right? That arch, that's what you use for an arch support. That arch is that plantar arch. That's what will start to fall. In fact, the person that's flat-footed, mm-hmm. he has no arch.
No arch. Yeah.
No arch.
Yeah.
All right? In fact, why do we not, if you're flat-footed, you can't go to the military? Why? Because long-term, you can't walk very long, and you're going to have a lot of problems.
Right.
All right? In fact, classic example.
You're going to hold back the rest of the troops.
Yeah. So you have fallen arches. You don't go into military. All right? I don't know if that's still true. All right? But that has been for years. And the reason is that you're at a much higher risk down the roads for walking and foot problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's really the bottom line.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Was there anything else that you wanted to cover?
One other little tip, Terry. Go buy a bag of peas. All right? Frozen peas. And if you have plantar fasciitis, just stand on the bag of peas. The ice helps. Number two, it conforms to the foot.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very soothing.
Great idea.
A bag
idea.
Of peas.
Great
frozen
idea.
Peas. They're not a big bag. Small bag.
No, small bag.
Yeah, and the frozen peas, it adds ice. You know, just leave it in a plastic bag. don't open it up, you know. But it's a cheap, simple way of getting relief.
Excellent. What a great idea.
Yep.
What a great idea. Okay, we are done with Dr. Mensink for today. We got to take this last break, and when we come back, we'll be just about done with the whole program for a Monday. We have survived. We'll be right back.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end. My only friend. The end of our elaborate plans. The end of everything that stands. The end of safety or surprise. The end. I'll never look into your eyes again.
Okay, everybody, we have finished our first day of the week. First day of the week, yes. Here on a Monday, Terry Maxwell Show, KNZR. I want to let you know tomorrow, got some special stuff that we will definitely want to delve into. I will obviously remind you about what's going on with the Bakersfield City School District meeting. Remind you a few times about that. But also, I'm going to have a nurse that was at the rally, one of the rallies over the weekend. Brian Colbrook was able to talk with her, and I have had some text message back and forth. She's kind of joined me at 4 o'clock and kind of give a perspective that the public really needs to hear. I also will play a couple of the interviews that I did with other people that was at the rally and on Saturday. I think those I did two interviews. They were both excellent interviews, so you want to stick around for those too. So join us tomorrow. We'll be back at about a little after 3 o'clock here on KNZR.